Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.musicglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action. An away match at Arsenal in the Premier League. It's been a good weekend for Manchester United if you look at the results. Basically, I think only Chelsea are the only team that have gone above them from all the games. Obviously, I think this is the final game of the weekend. Ah, no, it isn't. I should know that because it's Everton Leeds tomorrow. Dodgy Dennis may be out. Who say he's boycotting the pod at the moment, but we're hoping to get him back on next month. We're working on things, but yeah, so it's the last but one game. But all the teams are in and around Manchester United basically haven't won. Apart from Chelsea, who've just won 3-0 at Crystal Palace. I've been watching the Hearts-Celtic game. Not much quality in that game, but a proper battle and a decent watch. But I'm going to have to jump out of that match to watch the United game at 4:30, which is the kickoff. So kickoff is coming up soon. The team is out. It is the same team that played against Manchester City last week. So it is Lemens in goal, Dallow, Maguire, Martinez and Shaw at the back. Midfield, well, two of Mainoo and Casemiro with Bruno Fernandes playing further forward. Then it's Ahmad, Dorgu on the wider players with Mbeumo in the middle. And it probably should set well, sort of similarly to how they played against Manchester City, because he did play a style where using the pace up front to break out. Obviously, the slight difference is Arsenal's defence is much better than Manchester City's. Although, if United can create the opportunities sort of further up the pitch, because that's what they were doing, they were nicking the ball off Manchester City, and then there was a lot of space and pace. But Arsenal, probably the best side, one of the best sides in Europe, probably the best side in Europe at the moment when they do not have the ball. So if you're doing it the ball off them, there's usually somebody there to help them. Obviously, funnily enough, Manchester City fans will want Man United to do them a favour today. I mean, maybe a draw might be best because they probably don't necessarily want to see Manchester United win today. But it is a case for United that this, again, it's a bit of another free hit because you've got Man City and then you've got Arsenal. You're probably thinking to yourselves, if we get any points out of that, it'll be a bonus. They've already got three in their victory over Manchester City, as I say, a deserved victory last week. So again, this is a little bit of another free hit, as I say, with the results that have gone for them this weekend. As I say, if United win today, they will go to fourth in the table, but they're unbeaten at the Emirates. Going to, as I say, they are the best side in England as we stand. It means nothing at this stage of the season because you've not won anything. But they're probably the best side in Europe as well. But if you look at how Forest sort of blunted them to some extent last week, United will be trying to do the same. And then obviously with the players they've got moving forward, they can cause maybe a bit more damage than the Forest players did. Arsenal have actually, they've actually, Victor Gyökeres doesn't start. It's Gabriel Jesus. I think he scored a couple against Inter Milan, ex-Manchester City. So, maybe, he'll obviously, he's an Arsenal player now. We'll want Arsenal to win the game. Will it be him that causes the damage? He's caused Man United a lot of problems, a lot of damage when he was at Manchester City. Will he be doing it against Arsenal? Obviously, the news in the week that Casemiro is leaving the football club. I don't even think that's really news, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he's on £350,000 a week. The guy needs to go, in my opinion. Is he playing up to the standard £350,000 a week? Probably not. You could say that about a number of players at this football club who also need to be ousted from this football club. But I think it's probably just a case of United probably offered him something. He's out of contract at the end of the season, so he essentially can go anywhere. They weren't going to offer him the same amount of money, which is exactly the right thing to do. So maybe they offered him, we don't know what happened in the background, maybe they offered him a lower level deal, but that, you know, the announcement has come and he'll be leaving the football club in the summer. Hopefully that won't mean that he won't be sticking the boot in for the rest of the season. As I say, I mean, I've said on this pod before, I mean, I think his focus this season is the World Cup. He can't win anything with Manchester United, but obviously from United's point of view, they're going to have to pay out for this player, and he is you know, as we stand, probably the best in performance wise, the best holding midfielder we've got at the moment, with obviously Ugarte not playing brilliantly, although we, you know, when he did have a run, he sort of improved to some extent. But obviously you've got Casemiro and you've got Ugarte, and as I say, it's one game a week for Michael Carrick and under the new Jason Wilcox regime, so that there's not going to be many midweek games. I think in February they play 3 or 4 games. I think in March it's like 3 games. I think in April it's 3 games. It might only be 2 games in April because of the if Brentford make the FA Cup semi-final. So, you know, there's a lot of games. Obviously, there'll be games shifted. So maybe games will be slotted in. But there's not a lot of games. And after, I think we play Fulham, then Spurs, then West Ham in the 3 matches in 10 days. And then there's not a match for another 2 weeks to play Everton. Hopefully we'll have Dennis back on for the Everton game, and say we're going to try and get him on for that game, as they're planning to watch the match with Dennis somewhere. Although he's trying to make it sound as if he doesn't know when the match is, and we've got our dates mixed up. He knows when the match is. But it's just around half an hour till kickoff. As I say, it'll be interesting to see how this Manchester United side sort of sets up today. But as I say, I think it is like a bit of a bonus game. And I think what we will actually learn a lot more from Manchester United is these 3 games that come after that: Fulham at home, Spurs at home, and then West Ham away. That will be where we will actually learn if these players just seem to turn up for the bigger games, because they do that. They have turned up and played better in the bigger games this season. But, you know, the so-called, well, they say the run-of-the-mill games, you know, to win a league, you have to win the majority of the run-of-the-mill games. I remember, I think it was 08-09, where United had the worst record of the top 6, but they beat every team below them home and away. And that's what won them the league, apart from Newcastle. Newcastle actually got relegated that season, apart from Newcastle, who they drew with on the first game of the season. But then every other match against teams that finished, I think it was 7th or lower, they beat them home and away. And that, but the teams above them, they didn't have the greatest, didn't have the best record. But they actually winning those, as it's in the say, so-called run-of-the-mill games. But you have to step up and you have to perform to win a league. As I say, it is the classic marathon, not a sprint. But it's also the fact you need to get your results against all sorts of teams. And as I say, this Premier League is a very, very difficult league. And the results this season, as we can see, and as you see that Concertina effect in the middle of the table, essentially from 4th to like 14th, it's like 8 points or something like that. It's ridiculous. So, you know, a couple of wins could shoot you right up, a couple of defeats drop you back down. Draws don't really do anything for you. Another team can get those results. So it is important, as I say, the results are gone for United. So as I say, I mentioned again, it's a bit of a bonus match. If United can get a result, it pushes them further up the table. But then it's these matches that come after. And as I say, one game a week for the majority of the rest of the season, United should be stepping up with the players that they do have. And they showed against Manchester City what they can do. But will they be able to do it today against Arsenal? And then further on from that, we'll be back at half-time with my thoughts. Half-time at the Emirates, it's Arsenal 1, Manchester United 1. The half has sort of gone the way I sort of expected it to really. Arsenal having a lot of possession, pressurising Manchester United, but United defending well for the most part anyway. And trying to hit out on the break, sort of at the start of the first half. Arsenal did eventually score a goal, although it was an own goal from Martinez. But it was sort of after United had... The irritating thing is it was after United had weathered the storm, and Arsenal weren't really massively putting lots of pressure on United. There'd been like a 5-minute period that had been put up on the board that United had sort of 77% of possession, so they sort of weathered the storm. And then Arsenal just put a cross into the box. It wasn't clear. It was a poor attempted clearance header from Dorgu. Ended up at the feet of Saka, who managed to sort of touch it back, and then the shot was drilled in. Martinez, under pressure from Timber, put it in as an own goal from inside the 6-yard box. And sort of at that point, it was disappointing United to be a goal down at that point. But then sort of soon after, Mbeumo had an opportunity when he ran through, just got caught up by the Arsenal defenders. Bruno Fernandes had a shot that was great defending for Saliba. He just got to it just for Fernandes' shot, so he couldn't get his shot to on target. The ball was away from where he expected it to be. But then Zubimendi, a beautiful assist to Bernardo Bruno. Arsenal trying to sort of play around at the back, and Bruno got the ball, that lovely little sort of touch to the side of the keeper, and there was a good finish in regards of the situation. And from United's point of view, it was basically about then just getting themselves to half-time level, basically, and then which they managed to do. Arsenal, I mean, the crowd were very despondent for the last sort of seven-plus stoppage time minutes of the half. So it's something that United will need to pinprick into the second half. They want to try and push on and win. I mean, the last two games, both at half-time, have been level. Maybe last week, United should have expected to be ahead. They were the better team. This week, probably Arsenal just slightly shaded it. But this is the point. You get to half-time level, and that happens in a lot of games, whether it's 0-0, 1-1, maybe even 2-2, then you've got to show your willing and your worth within the second half. They did do that last week, Manchester United against Manchester City, by getting the two goals that they deserved, minimum. But what United have got themselves into this position. Can they push on further within that second half? And you do sense that, you know, there's a little bit of nervousness in the Arsenal crowd. So if United can get the next goal, who knows what would happen. But we'll see how things pan out in the second half. They've shown a guy that causes a lot of problems for United when he played for Crystal Palace. So I said, if United can get ahead, we'll really see whether Arsenal have anything. You know, I mean, the question marks on Arsenal have been, I mean, I've said it myself, I've got a lovely meme about Arsenal being chokers, and you get your head against them, but obviously United need to make sure that they don't give away a goal like they gave away in the first half. They want to make Arsenal good enough to work to get their goals and to give them one without too much not necessarily effort, but just, it was just an easy goal for Arsenal to give. It could have been stopped with better defending around the clearance of the cross. Half-time, being pictured, as I say, caused a lot of problems when he was with Palace. Maybe Arsenal will need to bring him on to cause United some problems, hopefully not. So we'll see how things happen in the second half, and I'll be back with my thoughts after the game. Well, just 5 minutes into the second half, that is payback from Torgu for his poor clearance for the Arsenal. Managed to get himself in just on the edge of the box. Just smashed it on the crossbar. Always looks better when it's off the crossbar. So that second goal from Arsenal that I talked to for Manchester United, that I talked about to see what Arsenal could do. And to the sense of nervousness that I noticed with the crowd towards the end of the half. Now, this is where, can Manchester United keep this lead? Or can Manchester United push on even further and get to it? Oh, there is a bit of a check for handball. Has it touched his hat? Is it hip? Oh, let's see. But it's a brilliant finish from Dorgu. He just got himself in there, just outside the edge of the box, smashed in. The goal's been allowed. It's 2-1. I mean, I think it would have been out. I mean, it's just bounced up. And he's not moved his arm towards the ball at all. That's the ball spinning back. I think it's hit. So it's 2-1 to Manchester United. Let's see what happens in the rest of this game. Let's see. Are Arsenal choking again? We'll see. Just 5 minutes after the goal, Eze is coming on. Have a bad game, please. Eze, please. All over at the Emirates. Manchester United with a brilliant finish from Matias Cunha to win the game late on for Manchester United after the Dorgu goal to put them 2-1 up. Arsenal, as you would expect, had most of the possession. They were pushing United back, but United was solid defensively, solid in midfield for a change. They put in blocks. They put in a pressurized, pressed Arsenal well. And to be honest, Arsenal didn't really cause that much damage to Manchester United's goal. The biggest danger were the corners and the actual equaliser, which came with about 5 minutes to go, was from a corner. Lemens, who I think was a little bit unlucky. I mean, the way corners are refereed now, the goalkeeper's out of protected species. He tried to get to the ball, was crowded out. I think it came off Maguire in the end. And then it was cleared off the line by Cunha, but it basically went straight to Marino, who basically couldn't miss. I think actually went it off Mainoo in the end. I think Mainoo tried to clear it, but it was pretty much about 2 yards from the goal. So nothing you could do about that. And it was a classic. I mean, I could see it went over the line before. I mean, I saw it go over the line and I thought, I'll just look at the referee. And then he did his thing, because obviously with the chip in the ball. So Arsenal back to 2-2 with just under 5 minutes to go. And you were thinking, well, United are going to have to really, really, they're going to be put under massive pressure. But to be fair, United, they sort of, you know, Arsenal, they are a slow build-up team, but they didn't. United kept hold of control of the ball a lot after the goal, so they didn't give Arsenal a chance to get straight in at them. And then after a clearance, a nice little Tesco had come on for Dorgu, had gone off. It looked like he'd gone off injured. Looked like a hamstring. Little chest into Bruno, and then it was like a 1-2 with. Well, it was like a ball to Cunha to Mainoo, and then back to Cunha to just give him some space. And then he just pulled in a brilliant curled shot right into the corner of the net to finish the game off. Yes, United had to withstand some pressures towards the end. Couple of corners from Arsenal. As I say, that is when they looked at their most dangerous. But as I say, Arsenal could be bottling it again. But a fantastic victory for Manchester United. I mean, obviously, I mentioned before the game that this was like a bonus game. If we could get, you know, anything we get from here is an absolute bonus. And still, next week is when it really starts. That's when we'll really learn about this Manchester United side. But the amount of effort and battle they put in. But to be fair, that doesn't surprise me. They do put it in the games against the so-called bigger teams. Went to Anfield and I mean, Cunha's performance, obviously he played the whole game at Anfield. He came on today for Mbeumo about 20 minutes to go, and he put in exactly that kind of performance, causing problems to the defence, holding the ball up when the ball was played further forward, getting fouls. Whether some, you know, the odd one might have been soft, but they were fouls. He's very clever with his body, getting in ahead. And it, obviously, the goals that are scored, you know, and Bruno, Cunha and Dorgu, you know, fantastic goals. Obviously, and Bruno's taking that opportunity that was given to him. You know, yeah, it was a beautiful through ball from Zubimendi, but you still have to take that chance and put it into the back of the net. And obviously, Dorgu and Cunha's had sort of shots, not out of nowhere, but they're just fantastic efforts from outside of the box that, you know, you want to see your team doing. And when you get those shots on target, and you have to have players who have the quality to do that. And so at least we can't, obviously, Manchester City fan, for Manchester City, we beat them last week. Well, we've beaten Arsenal this week. I mean, Aston Villa, we play them in a few weeks. So maybe we'll do Arsenal and Manchester City a favour by beating Aston Villa. We'll see. You know, as I say, I've always said in Manchester United's situation, the thing is you should never rely on other teams to do the job for you. You should do it yourself, you know, at the end of the day. And if you do it yourself, it puts you in a better position. I'd have moved up into fourth with 38 points, but there's only 10 points like down till 14th, I think. So it's still a very tight league. You'd rather be where Manchester United are. They've had opportunities to move into fourth this season and not taken that, but they've got themselves up there. But now the test begins. The next three fixtures will learn a lot about Manchester United and these players and what they are able to do against teams that are so-called teams that aren't of the standards of maybe your Arsenals, your Manchester Cities. Fulham at home, Spurs at home, West Ham away. Three huge games, massive opportunities. That's before a big long couple of weeks break before the Everton game. Those are games United have got to look to get full maximum points from to at least consolidate their position at where they are in the table. because at the end of the day, beating Manchester City and an Arsenal, fantastic, fantastic result. But it means nothing if you can't get the results in matches that follow that. Look at Arsenal. I talked about Arsenal at the start. They've been the best side in England this season, but they're only 4 points ahead of the teams behind them. Because you have to win all, you know, the majority of your games. You have to step up for 38 games. It's a long run into the season. And I think for United, they've got a massive, massive advantage in regards of only playing one game a week. They have to target just continually winning the games. And, you know, fair play to Michael Carrick. Two matches, two victories. As I say, we'll have the classic thing, oh, give Carrick the job from some people. I mean, Sky were mentioning some things after, like, a bunch of idiots. But there's a long way to go in this league. And as I say, when Ollie came in, I think he won his first 18. I think he won 14 of his first 15, which culminated in that PSG madness. And what happened to the end of the season? Well, actually, they gave him a contract before the end of the season, despite saying that they were actually not going to make any decision before the end of the season. So no decision needs to be made. Michael Carrick just needs to be getting results. And as I say, he wins all 17 games that he's managing, then fair enough. You know what? I can't argue against him getting the job, but at the end of the day, he has to continue doing that. I think he's got the temperament to realise that, you know, he's just doing his job and he's got to carry on doing his job. And things in football can change very, very quickly, as we all know. Yeah, it is a time to celebrate. It's a time to be happy about the victory. But as I say, these standards at Manchester United, the standards in the last two matches should be the standards in 7, 8, 9 out of 10 matches. And then you give the players the credit then. Not when they've done well for a couple of games and then they're absolutely useless for games after that. That is the problem at the club. The standards are through the floor and they need to be lifted up. I mean, even Jason Wilcox was semi-smiling today. I mean, Jason, your regime has started off very well. So let's hope that continues. So, as always, all pods up at www.musglobal.co.uk. Up with their podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Note, Pcast, Podchaser. Search MUSC Global and it will come up. Next up is Fulham at Old Trafford a week today or a week on Sunday for into February. So let's hope this isn't just positive January stuff. We need to make sure this pushes on into February, March, April and May, because there's a lot riding on what's happening this season for Manchester United, and they do need to get European football next season, obviously preferably in the Champions League, but you've actually seen this season, if you look at the Champions, look at a team like Spurs, they're in the top 8 in the Champions League, but they're struggling in the Premier League. So as I say, having one game a week has been a massive advantage for Manchester United. They do need to get back to Europe for more finance, because it'll be very interesting to see what the financial outlook is for Manchester United come the end of the season, when they, again, they'll try their PR, but financially they're big issues. And as I say, it's a good start for Michael Carrick. It's a good start for the Jason Wilcox regime, which is what this is. But it needs to continue. So as always, thanks for listening. I will be back after the Fulham game next Sunday.